So we're starting a new Mishnah today, Meretz Hashem. And we're on Daf Nun Beis of the Beis, on the bottom of the Daf. And this Mishnah is going to address issues about Shechita, exactly where the Shechita is. It fits our perek, which is called Eizem HaKomon. So we're talking about Eizem HaKomon Shel Shechita, Eizem HaKomon Shel Kabbal Saddam, Eizem HaKomon Shel Hazoah Saddam, Eizem HaKomon Shel Achilas Bosar Karbonos, Eizem HaKomon Shel Kochi Kochim, Kochim Kalim, Korban Chatos. So the Mishnah starts with a discussion about Chatos. And the Mishnah combines two types of chatos into one category, and those are chatos hatzibur and chatos hayochid. So if you take a look in the Masifta, he has a note here, number Chav Dalid, in which he gives you an overview of the various categories of chatos. Let's just quickly touch base with this. Number one is a chatos chelev, that's the classical case of a chatos, which means that he violated an iser kares b'shogeg. For example, chelev, that's going to be a, you know, just an example, but it's used as the prime example. Then we have what's called a chatos ola v'yored, which means that in certain averos, like shvuas ha'edus and shvuas bitui, tumas migdash v'kadoshav, if he cannot afford, because of his financial destitute status, he can't bring a se'ira or a kivsa, which is a more expensive animal, like a goat or a sheep, so he's allowed to bring Shtei Torim or Shnei Bnei Yonah. One is a Chatos, one is an Ola. If he reaches the lowest stage, then he brings a Korban Mincha. So that's called Ola V'yored. And Ola V'yored means it goes up if he's a rich person, relatively, he could afford it, and it goes down if he's a poor person, relatively poor. And it's interesting that if he can afford the expensive Korban, then he will bring a chatos and an ola. Those are the two karbonos that he brings. And that you'll see here in number days, if you take a look. You see what he says? He gives you a list of the various averus, and then he tells you that bashirus, he brings a se'ira or a kizv. How are you, Mendel? Then he has a third category of a chatos, which is called mechusrei kapara. Now, what does that mean, mechusrei kapara? This is what we call a korban hamachshi. Yeah, we good? A korban hamachshi, which means that you have four categories here, which is zav, zava, your lettuce, and mitzora. These are people who cannot enter into the mikdash. They cannot enter into the Mikdash unless they bring a Korban Chatos. Not just the Korban Chatos, but other Korbanos. So here the Chatos plays a role to be Machshir, meaning to allow the person to come back, be reinstated into the Jewish fold, and they can enter into the Beis HaMikdash. They're allowed to eat Kodshim. Then we have a fourth category of chatos, and that's the case of chatos mitzora, that has certain unique dinim. Then we have the case of a chatos nazir. We have the case of a chatos, in the case of a nazir who contaminated himself, and therefore he has to terminate his nazirus. How are you, Shmuel? In any event, our mission is going to address what we call a chatos yachid, in the classical cases of a chatos chilev, of a chatos olaviyored, chatos mitzora, chatos nazir. And then we have two cases, two categories of what's called a chatos hatzibur, which means that the korban is obligatory not on the individual, as the other cases that we discussed earlier, but rather on the tzibur. And those are the cases mentioned here in the Mishnah of Rosh Chodesh, which is tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, and Moed, which is Yom Tovim. So we hope that the days coming in the near future will be turned into days of Moed, of Simcha. So on these occasions of Rosh Chodesh and Moed, and Moedim, we bring what's called a Sa'ir Lachatos, And that is also a karbon chatas. Now, what's common to all these cases, whether it's a chatas yachid or a chatas tzibur, or a chatas yachid in the five cases that we mentioned before, chatas tzibur in the two categories of Rosh Chodesh and Moed, what's common to all these chatos is that the dam doesn't go inside the heichal, it remains outside in the azara, and the dam is nitan on the mizbeach hachitzon. Okay, as opposed to chatos pnimios. So our Mishnah now is addressing what we call chatos chitzona, and it tells us the following dinim, let's count them one by one, that apply to all chatos chitzona. Number one, shchitasa batzofon, this halach of what's called kodshe kodshim. Chatos is your prime example of kodshe kodshim. We have other kodshe kodshim, like Ola, like Osham, and we have Shalmi Tzibur, but Chatas is the focal point of our discussion, as it's been for a number of blot here. And in the case of Chatas, the Shechita must take place in the Tzofon. That's the part of the Azara that's designated. In fact, the Tzofon means in front of the Mizbeach Tzofona. That was called the Beis HaMitbachayim. There was a whole section there that was designated, that was set off for the Shechita HaKarbonos. So that's the first din that's common to all Chatos. Number two, you need kli kabolas dama b'kli shareis b'tzofon. Correct? That means that you need a kabolas adam in what's called a mizrak in the northern part of the azara. Again, that's because chatas is a classical example of kodshe kodshim. In the case of kodshim kalim, you don't need to shecht the karbon in the tzofon. You don't need to be makabel adam in the tzofon. The shechita and the kabbalah sadam will take place anywhere in the azara, lav dafka the tzofon. But now we're dealing with kodshe kodshim. And number three, the third halacha that identifies all these karbonos, which are called chatos, is that domam ton arba matonos al arba kronos hamizbeach. In other words, the Torah requires what's called keren. And our discussion for today, Emir Tzashem, will focus on this concept called keren. We'll just say in a general sense, without getting into details, that on the four corners of the Mizbeach on the top, there were kronos, and these kronos were squared off. They were an amma by an amma by an amma width, an amma length, an amma height. And those were the corners of the Mizbeach. The Chatos required what's called Matan Domim al Arba HaKronos. Now it's very interesting because elsewhere in Masechta Zvachim, we don't find the word Matana, but rather we find the word Hazah. And the reason why the Mishnah here, B'davka, chooses the language of Nesina as opposed to Hazah. And you can see this, Ben, you have the footnote number Chav Zayin. Oh, you gave it over to Mendel. Mendel, if you take a look at footnote Chav Zayin, which is on the bottom left of your page, he tells you, I'll read it to you, it's very simple. He says, Masha Shina Tanami Loshana Zah. He quotes a Mishnah back on Daf Mem Zayin. If somebody wants to open up to the Mishnah on Mem Zayin, I think you'll see the Loshan HaZah there. And here he shifts to the language of Nesina, which is called Matan Domim. He says, "Hainu mishum shekana mitzahi b'nesina be'etzba, v'lo bizrika b'kli." So what's unique about a chatos is that we put aside the normal ritual, which is called zrika, which means you hold on to the mizrak and you throw the dam onto the mizbeach. Here, what happens is that the kohen has to put his forefinger, his right forefinger, dip it into the dam. Again, there are many, many different details about how he does that, and how he washes off his finger between one and the other, and whether he's allowed to take part of the dam and just wipe it on the side of the mizrak. Many, many different questions. But suffice it to say that the word matan domim here means nesina be'etzba. Again, we'll get into the details, Mir Sashem, Bli Neder, about Nesina Be'etzpa. But the flip side, which is the classical language called Hazah, that's called Zrika Bekli. And where does this Matan Domim have to take place? The Mishnah seems to assume that it has to take place on Arba Kronos HaMizbeach. So before we see the next part of the Mishnah, we get the impression, it might be the wrong impression, that he actually has to climb up to the top of the Mizbeach, the Gag of the Mizbeach, and he has to walk around in a certain, he's got to go counterclockwise because he's coming up to Kevesh, which is on the south side, and then he turns to the east, which is to his right, and the first Keren that he gets to is going to be the Keren Mizrach Hizdromus, and then he's going to go around. But here the Mishnah seems to assume with regard to Chatos, you need Keren. And if you need Keren, it's got to be on the top of these squares, these four squares that are on the four corners of the Mizbeach. The first one that he's going to hit is going to be on the southeastern side, and then he goes around the entire Mizbeach. That's the impression you get right now. But take a look at the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ketzad. How exactly is this Arba Matanos al Arba Kronos fulfilled or implemented, if you will? And the Mishnah says the following. Ola Bakevish, he goes up the ramp. Upana, he looks towards his Yamin. Again, he's always facing the Mizbeach, but he's walking towards the Yamin. He's walking on what's called a Sovev. Now, the Sovev is somewhere in the middle of the Mizbeach. It's probably a height of about 6 amos from the ground, because, again, in the case of Chatos, we need either Kronos, which is on top, or alternatively, we need, as we're going to soon see, the Machlokas Tanoim, we need the top half of the Mizbeach above the Chut HaSikra. So therefore he has to be elevated from the ground. There's no way he can do a Matan Etzba while he's standing on the Azorah. So his feet can't be on the Azorah. His feet have to be on what's called the Sovev. And the Sovev, let's assume, is 6 amos high from the ground. So he's really getting a lot of height over here, especially if he's a short Kohen. And the Mishnah says that after he turns towards the right, Balo, he comes to the Keren Dromus Mizrachis, because when he turns right, as we say, he always has to turn to the right, then he's at the eastern side of the eastern corner of the Mizbeach. Again, he's on the south side, but he's on the eastern south side. And again, the Gemara is going to derive from different limudim why he's got to do it in that particular order. So he does the first of the four matanos of the Dama Chatos, which is Be'etzpa, and he's doing it on the Keren Dromus Mizrachis. Now, if you imagine that he's facing the Mizbeach itself, when he turns towards the right, he's moving north, and therefore he's going to get to the second Keren on his trip in a counterclockwise way, and that's going to be what's called the Mizrachis Tzfonis, correct? Because he's on the Mizrach side, but now he's moving towards the north. Again, you and I might see it as a turn towards the left, but really he's turning towards the right. Okay, that's the rule. Then he's now on the northern side. Now he goes around counterclockwise, first encountering the Maravis, the western side. Then he goes all the way around Dromus, again going down south, back to where he started, because he's done now the Matan Domim on 4 Kronos. And then the Mishnah tells us about Shiori Adam. We came to the conclusion that Shiori Adam is not ma'akev, it's not a critical part, it's a what you call Shiori Mitzvah, it embellishes the Mitzvah. In the case of Achatos Primis, it might be Likuva, we had Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, we had various Tanoim. But in the case of Achatos Chitzona, and for sure all the other Karbanos, Shvichas Dam al HaYisod is just an embellishment of the Mitzvah. And he says, "Hoya shofech al yisod dromis." He would pour it on the southern side, not on the eastern side, because that's not where the yisod was. But on the south side, that's where he did the shiore hadam. Now, as far as a chatas is concerned, representative of the class called kachi kachim, but as opposed to an ola where there's no achil at all, everything is burnt on the mizbech. In the case of chatos, there's a part of the basar that's given to the mizbech, but there's a part of the basar that's eaten by a human being. And who is this human being? And where is he eating the basar achatos? So the Mishnah answers these questions, and also another question: how long of a lot of time do we have? And these are the three answers. Number one, lifnim and akloim, meaning it has to be in the Azara. There's no way, no how, that he can leave with the Basar outside of the Azara, in contrast to what? Kachim Kalim, because Kachim Kalim is eaten anywhere in the city. Number two, Lizichre Kahuna, and that means that the male Kohanim could eat it, not the females. Again, there'll be Kachim Kalim where the females could also take place, and they're not even Kohanim, even Yisrael could eat part of the Basar. And then how does he eat it? Does he have to eat it roasted? Could he eat it cooked? B'chol machal. And lastly, liyom v'layla, which means that although usually a day ends in halacha with layla, so once Shkiyas Achava comes, the day is gone. You know, for all dinim, let's say, for example, if you want to be mekayim the mitzvah of lulav, you know, you can do it up to Shkiyah or a little beyond Shkiyah, maybe. But that's it. Because in halacha, as a universal rule, the night begins the day, and then the day follows the night. That's not true in Kodshim. In Kodshim, it's just the opposite. The day, you know, the 12 hours of daylight begins the day, and the night that follows, 12 hours of night, is tagged on to the day. So the 24-hour allotment period for Achilas Basar Chatos, and for that matter, for all of Kodshi Kodshim, except for Ol, of course, is day, meaning the day in which the Chatos was brought on the Mizbeach, and the following night. Okay.
Yeah. The Soveh, is that higher than the rest of the Mizbeach?
Yes. The Soveh is about 6 amos high, and that will give the Kohen enough height, even if he's a short Kohen, to hit the top part of the Mizbeach. And in the case of a Chatos, that's what he needs. The Soviv itself was 1 amma wide, which gave the Kohen just enough room to walk around the Mizbeach at that height. And as I said before, as he's walking around the Mizbeach on the Soviv, he is facing the Mizbeach itself. Now, my friend Alan Kermeyer, Dr. Kermeyer, promised me that he would give me a very beautiful picture of this. He says he has tons of books with pictures. I have not yet received that picture. I can't wait to see it. I have here in the Masifta, you'll take a look, Mendel, a little bit of a diagram.
Yeah.
And frankly speaking, that doesn't satiate my curiosity. I would much rather see something more dramatic over here. It's not, he doesn't give me any of the measurements here, it's not diagrammed in any sort of a scale. On the next page he has another diagram, which might help us a little bit, because on the next page at least he shows you where the Soviv is.
Well, the Soviv is not on the Mizbeach, it's lower than the...
Yeah, it's something that protrudes,
yeah,
and it, like it protrudes...
Like a little...
So yeah, what you
like
can't...
A balcony. Is that the word?
Yeah, like a balcony, excellent, I like the word balcony. And what he doesn't tell you here, again, I don't know why they couldn't do a better job here, but they could have told you exactly how many amos he's standing. You know, you can see the bottom floor there, that's the Azara, the Ritzvah Azara, but he doesn't tell you exactly how high up. But anyway, he comes up to Kevesh. Now it's interesting because if you take a look in the previous diagram, the Kevesh takes you all the way up to the Gag HaMizbeach. And you've already passed way, way above the Soviv. So for that you have to see, again, he didn't do, it's not a great job, but you'll see that the Kevesh itself splits.
Oh.
And on the right side of the Kevesh, meaning towards the eastern side, there's what's called the Kevesh Katan. And that Kevesh Katan lands you on the Soviv. It doesn't go all the way up to the top, the Gag of the Mizbeach. Do you notice that?
Yeah.
Again, the diagram is not clear, that's why I need... You know, I would love to actually get a video which we could show on the screen here. I don't know. We'll have to.
They call the Temple Institute.
Yeah. So he has. Yeah. I. By the way, I did receive one video that my son was able to get for me, but it's not that helpful. It's kind of gory if you've never seen a shechita, because they take you right up to the shechita of a little keves, and you know, if you're not used to it, it's. If you don't hang around Schlottheisen, as we say, you know, it's kind of scary. I begin to understand the Yerushalmi that says women should not get too involved in Shechita because they won't be able to tolerate all the blood going around. You know, good. So that's the Mishnah, Rabbo. So now that we've learned the Mishnah, we want to get into more specifics in the Gemara. about how exactly you implement this Nesinas Dam Chatos Al Mizbeach. Hechi Ovid. How exactly should he do it? Now, what I don't understand about this Gemara is that it's pedagogically, it's a little bit challenging, what should I say? The Gemara doesn't go back to the basics, but instead it quotes a Machlokas Amoraim, and only after the Machlokas Amoraim do we get a glimpse at the basics. I can't understand why the Gemara organized it that way, meaning the Machlokas Amoraim could only be appreciated in a broader context of the Machlokas Tanoim, but the Gemara hasn't even told us about the Machlokas Tanoim. So I didn't write the script, so you can't hold me. You know, when I see Ravina Ravashi, I'm going to ask them why they did it that way. And what we're going to have to do is work a little bit backwards. So we're going to get now a picture of Machlokas Amoraim, and then the Gemara is going to say that if you have a flowchart, the Machlokas Amoraim branches off from one opinion in the Machlokas Tanoim. So after we see the Machlokas Amoraim, we're going to get a picture of the Machlokas Tanoim, which is a more fundamental Machlokas. And that's going to be the Machlokas about what Karen is all about, because again, the Torah requires Matan Dom on the Karen, on the Karen of the Mizbeach in the case of Chatos. And the question is, what is Karen? And then this Machlokas Amoraim that we're about to embark upon now will make a lot more sense, because it's going to be a Machlokas according to that Matan Dom who requires Karen. You know, and then we'll go back to the Machlokas Tanoim. That's just... I'm just expressing my. I'm asking for a little empathy here. I'm kind of challenged here in the way the Gemara presents this. Now, by the way, if you're interested, there are two or three very very fascinating footnotes here in the Masifta before we even start the Gemara, and these are footnotes number Yud, Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis. So I'm just gonna, you know, you don't have those footnotes, so Mendel, you have them.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to summarize, you know, the highlights of those footnotes. In footnote number Yud, he tries to explain why the Mishnah requires Zichrei Kahuna. What's the source for that? And he quotes a pasuk in Vayikra Vav, and the Torah says in Vayikra Vav, HaKohen HaMachate Osa. Now, that pasuk doesn't tell me anything more than who's doing the Zrikas Hadam, and it's a Kohen. Okay, what does that have to do with the fact that the Basar is eaten by Kohen and by Zichrei Kohuna? So he says the following. We have to look into this pasuk a little deeper, and the pasuk says that, and the rest of the pasuk talks about the Achilas Basar, that it's the Kohen who is Mechate Osa. He's the one who's Yochlena. Do you remember that? Osa Yochlena. We had a long discussion about those two words. Osa Yochlena. I would have called this week, if I had to give it a name here for our 9:30 class, I would have called it the Osa Yochlena week that we spend so much time on. So the word Osa here in this pasuk is interpreted as the Kohen HaMachate. In other words, the Osa Yochlena has to be similar, has to be dumya to the Kohen HaMachate. And he says the following, Rak Kohen Zachar, who's right to do the kapara, meaning to do the Zrikas Hadam, Yochlena. But Noshim, who don't have the status of a Kohen, so they can't do the Nesinas Hadam, okay? So despite the fact that they may have Kedushas Kohuna, if she's a Kohenes, but nevertheless, they're not right to do the kapara, to be Mechaper, i.e. to the Nesinas Hadam, and therefore the Yochlena doesn't apply to them. And even though that pasuk is referring to a korban chatos, but nevertheless we have a hekesh between chatos, asham, and mincha. So we're going to see that chatos, asham, and mincha all have this common denominator. Again, I would have put ola into the group, except that ola doesn't have achilas basar. But this is the group that circumscribes or restricts the achila to zichrei kohun, and it's all based on hakohen amachata osa yochlena. Now, what happens if the Kohen is a Balmum? Now, this is a very strange kind of halacha, because I would have said, if you're talking about the Kohen HaMachate Osa, i.e. the Kohen is doing the Zrika and he's doing the Kapara, then that excludes a Kohen Balmum. And therefore, Kohen Balmum would not be allowed to eat this karma. And he says the following: Vatam shebasar kodesh kadoshim nechal afilu lekanim bali mumin. Right, that's a kasha. He says mishum shetzorach li ochlo ba'azara. And he says the following: anyone who's allowed to go into the azara is included in the halach of achila, because again, when it comes to kodshei kodshim, the parameters, as we saw in that mishnah, is lifnim and akloim, meaning inside the azara. And this halach of lifnim and akloim, which restricts the achila to the azara, that applies to any kohen who's allowed to enter into the azara, and even a bal mum who's not allowed to do the mechate, the zrikas adam, nevertheless he's allowed into the azara. Now again, he has a whole business here with the sugin kedushin about a woman, that a woman doesn't enter into the azara, and the reason for that we don't know, because we're not learning masechta kedushin. So let's accept it as a gather of tzniyus, whatever it might be. The woman doesn't go into the azara. The azara is for the men and not for the women. So in any event, when the Torah says tochlena, it refers to anyone who's allowed to be in the azara and could eat it in that location. He's allowed to enter that location and therefore eat the basar in that location, in the restricted area that's called lifnim and aklayim, or the azara. Now, in the next footnote, he quotes a mishnah later on at Daf Tzadi Amud Beis, and the mishnah is talking about Korban Pesach, and it says that Korban Pesach could only be eaten in one way. And what's that? You can't cook a Korban Pesach, you can only eat it
sleep.
And therefore the mishnah went out of its way to tell us here that with regard to all other korbanos, the exception of Korban Pesach, you can eat it sleep, you could eat it mevushal, you could eat it what's called shaluk, which is a kind of an overdoing cooking, and that's what we have. Now, if you will just sort of allow me, you know, fashpil me, as we say in Yiddish, you know, just give me the benefit of one more footnote here that I found interesting, and that's footnote number hey. Mendel, you have number hey? It's on the right side of your page, if you see it.
Yeah.
And he quotes here a Rambam. The Rambam says, Shino matan kronos bechatos posul. So in other words, what we're learning now about the din of keren, the requirement of matan kronos, whatever that requirement is, kronos, we have to see if it means the keren mamish or someplace below the keren, whatever it might be. If he makes that shino, meaning he mislocates the keren, the zrikas adam, so Rambam says the carbon is possible. And that's really interesting, because what the Rambam is telling us is that what we're learning in the Mishnah here, with this whole description of how he goes around from one Karen to the next Karen, and he does the Matan Domim on four Kronos, the Rambam says that's absolutely critical. And he adds that there's a machlokas here between the Brisker Rav and the Chazon Ish, which is typical in Kodshim. And the Brisker Rav holds in the Rambam that the Rambam had in mind that he was Mishana and he was Mazeh Shelo Ala Keren. So in other words, the Mishnah is establishing Keren. The Rambam says Shina, he means he didn't do the Zrika on the Keren. I'll clarify that in just a minute. Whereas the Chazon Ish says that Kavanas HaRambam is Sheshina Miseder. Now this is a real chumrah. According to Chazon Ish, what the Rama means about Shinu is not the Shinu Keren, that he didn't do the Zrika on the Keren, but he messed up on the Seder. The Seder requires that he turn towards the Mizrach, on the south side, and then he goes north, so he's still on the south side of the north, then he goes west, and then he comes down south again. And if he makes a Shinu, he says to Chazon Ish, that's what the Rama means by Shinu, is possible, the carbon is possible. If he was, for example, no sein al keren acheres lifnation osan al keren dromus. Let's say he goes up to the north before he does the zrika on the keren mizrachis dromus. So he does the north before the south. The carbon is possible. That's very difficult to say. Again, there's a din of kedima, and there's a din of kol pniyah shatapona ein atapona el yamin, and there's a din of ein mavir nal mitzvahs. You know, we don't want to skip over the, you know, the south side and go towards the north side. That's all wonderful, but to say that therefore the carbon is possible, that's the way the Chazon Ish understood the Rambam. So for our purposes today, I want to lay down the following premise, that we're going to go with the Brisker Rav here, and what the Mishnah wants to undermine the kashrus of the carbon, and it's possible that's only if the Shini was Karen. No, he was not Makayim, the requirement of Karen. Now somewhere I saw, but now I can't find it, unfortunately, a footnote about Karen. Let me just see if maybe, I'll give me a half a minute to see if I can... Maybe, Ben, if you don't mind looking at it in the sifter, if no one's using it for the next minute or two, and see if you can find, there should be a footnote about Karen. I think I saw it, but now, of course, when I need it, I don't find it. Okay. All right, if you don't see it, then...
Chavchet talks about Lashon Kranot.
Chavchet?
On the previous...
Yeah, let's see. Mashal Ma'arba Matash is in... He says the following, that Arba Matonos al Arba Kronos, Arba Matonos al Arba Kronos, Haynu Kedivri Rebbe, Shein Chiyuv Losis al Arba Kronos, Shebegag HaMizbech, Hakol Zomis Nizbechut HaSikla Ma'ilak Shezizim Kol Shalom. So again, what's his question over here? Mashe Nemar. Arba Matonos al Arba Kronos. Below Arba Matonos al HaKronos. I don't understand. It's a very subtle diuk that he has in the Mishnah, in which he writes that there's a word here, Arba, that's absolutely unnecessary in the Mishnah. It's superfluous. The Mishnah could have said that Domon Ton Arba Matonos al HaKronos. It didn't have to specify Arba Kronos.
Because we already know those are Arba Kronos.
Right, we know that four Kronos, and he's already said he needs four Matonos. If he needs four Matonos on the Kronos, we would know it's on the four Kronos. That's what he's bothered by. Now, I wouldn't have derived any long-range sensational conclusions from that view, but it's a nice point. Heichi Ov, we're up to the Gemara. So Gemara says the following. We have a machlokes amoraim between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lozer. And again, this is standard format of the Gemara, where the Gemara has two opinions, but it doesn't tell you who holds what. Because we can't identify which opinion holds what. And the first opinion says, no sein ama elech vi elech. In other words, he doesn't need to put the dam on a particular point. We're going to give him a kind of a scope, a radius of one amma on each side. Okay, now when we say one amma on each side, that means that you have the exact corner of the Mizbeach, and we're going to move out one amma to the right, one amma to the left, and all that is acceptable for Nesina Saddam. That's according to one opinion. Hopefully this will get a little clearer as we go along. V'chadom, the other opinion says, Mechate v'yored k'neged chudo shel keren. We don't give him any slack over here, any room, any radius. One arm in this direction, one arm in that. But rather, when he does the Nesina Saddam, again that's be'etzpa, and it's got to be up on the upper half of the Mizbeach, it's got to be exactly at that 90 degree angle, which is the corner of the Mizbeach. That's called in the Lashon HaMishnah Keneged Chudo Shel Keren. Now another word for Chudo Shel Keren would be Zavis HaMizbeach. Okay, now you get the impression here from the Mishnah that one thing is common to both opinions. You don't need Keren Mamish. In other words, we're going to give some sort of a scope, how do we say, some sort of room to expand that goes beyond Keren. But exactly what are we referring to here? Are we referring to Amma Elech the Amma Elech? And where is this Ama Eilach and Ama Eilach? If it's not on the Karen, then Lechor it's below the Karen. So what you're having here is the Karen looks like this, and we're going to allow you to take the Ama this way, the Ama this way, below the Karen, and that's okay. So do you follow what I mean? So I'm giving you this whole Ama and this whole Ama, and all that is okay for the Sina Saddam with the Etzpa. The second man Yomer says, no, what you need is Chuda Shel Mizbech, and Chuda Shel Mizbech means the exact Zavis. And therefore he's going to have to put the dam somewhere on the Zavis. Again, it doesn't have to be on the Keren, but it's got to be exactly on the Zavis. Again, it's got to be the Zavis above the Chut HaSikra. So we're going down the Mizbech, but you can't go too far down. And that's the second Man D'Yomer. Now, all this is about as clear as mud until we see the Machlokes Tanoim. And Baruch Hashem, at this point, the Gemara goes back one step in the past, you know, turns the clock backwards, and gives us a little bit of the background for where this Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar is coming from. And that's the more fundamental question of how to define Karen. So the Gemara now, like through the back door, tells us that we don't know if the Torah actually requires Karen. The Torah requires Karen, but what does that mean? Does that mean the Karen? Again, the Karen is a part of the Mizbeach on each of the four corners that's above the Gag HaMizbeach. It's above the floor of the Mizbeach. And it's going to be one Amah tall, one Amah wide, and one Amah in the length. And here's the Machlokes Tanoim. Aliva de Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, Kuliyama lo pli. I skipped a few words deliberately. So again, what the Gemara is setting up here is that this Machlokes Shin, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan does not apply according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. There it was crystal clear. Again, this is a Tana, right? So the Tana said the Omar, he atzma, Eino nases ela begufa shel Karen. In other words, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon takes the word Karen literally, and when the Torah requires Karen, it's got to be on the Karen. It's got to be on that part of the Mizbeach that juts up above the floor of the Mizbeach on four sides, and that's where you do the Iker Dam Chatos. The Dam Chatos has to be placed on the Karen itself. Let's take that literally, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. And he points out that this is not just an embellishment of the mitzvah, but rather this is the Ikra mitzvah, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So again, if you're taking notes here, the first thing you want to write down, because we're going to create this flowchart, if on the right side of your page, on the top, you could write Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, he says that the mitzvah of Nesinas Dam is on the Karen Gufa. That's called Gufa Shel Karen. Ah, if it's on Gufa Shel Karen, then there's no, if the whole Karen is one entity, then what halacha, or what requirement has certainly been undermined here, has certainly been neutralized. The Chuda Shel Karen. You understand that? In other words, our machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, I don't know who holds what, but is whether or not you need Chuda Shel Karen. Again, what's the Chuda Shel Karen? We won't forget. That's where the two sides of the Karen come to an exact meeting point. It's a 90 degree angle, I call it, or you can call it the edge or the corner, right? So that's considered, according to one of them, an absolute requirement. So that's called Chuda Shel Karen. Well, wait a minute. If there's Aloch of Karen, then there's no Aloch of Chuda Shel Karen. You can't have both simultaneously. Because Karen means anything that's called Karen. Chuda Shel Karen is already a special status, and it's a very specific area.
Chuda Shel Karen?
If you take the pre... No, that was either Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Yochanan, the previous line, right? Well, Chad Omar... Oh, right, keneged chudo shel keren.
Right.
Now that doesn't make any sense according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Elazar and Shimon says the entire keren is one entity, and anywhere on the keren is fine. as far as the Zrikas Adam and the Sinas Adam. Yeah, I don't want to call it Zrika because that would sound like he's not doing a Matan Etzba, but let's call it the Sinas Adam. So if the whole Karen is fit for the Sinas Adam, and the Torah requires Karen, but there's no reason to specify any specific location. You can't isolate and pinpoint any specific location on the Karen according to Rabbi Lozov, Rabbi Shimon. We'll call him Rabash. And therefore, the whole discussion here about Chudash El Karen is totally out of place. It's irrelevant. And therefore, Kuli Amalo Pligi, that both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lozov have to agree that he can place it anywhere on the Karen, which means an Amma this way, an Amma this way. Keep in mind that Karen is Amma by Amma with a Gova, with a height of an Amma. So anywhere which is one Amma to the right, one Amma to the left is on the Karen. You know, you wouldn't even have to, if you were doing the Nesina Sadat, you wouldn't even have to calculate, am I within the Amma or outside the Amma, because the Karen itself is only one Amma. So he knows that he has to do the Nesina Sadat on the Karen. But any place in the Karen is sufficient. So this whole machlokas between Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yochanan, namely, do you need chudosh al Karen, that specific edge at the 90 degree angle, which is otherwise known as zavis hamizbeah, that doesn't apply to the Rabash. Because according to Rabash, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, I just gave him a short form, according to the Rabash, you don't need... Right, there's a famous Lubavitcher who sounds like Rabash. That's Rabashkin, right? Maybe he's a descendant of Rabbi Lozov of Shimon. I don't know. But anyway, according to Rabbi Lozov of Shimon, there's no din of chudo shel Karen, because the entire Karen is one entity. Again, don't compare this in your mind to Shmuel Sheet about Zrika Shalom Koma, that the entire Mizbeach is fit for Zrika, because even Shmuel agrees that that's not so. You know, this is, you know, if you do the Dam Lamata instead of Lamala, that's the Bosar is not, you know, it's not going to be Mata the Bosar, whatever it might be. Here, Rabbi Lozer of Shimon is saying that anywhere on the Karen is fine. That is the mitzvah, to put it on the Karen.
When they say Karen, that doesn't mean, that means the side, not the top. They both agree with that?
Correct. That's the sides. Yeah,
the
yeah.
Sides within one.
The sides. The sides. So the Karen. Let's say, if this was square, so the Karen would be one Amma, and anywhere on this Karen would be fine. That's called Karen, because Rabbi Lozov of Shimon requires Karen. He takes literally Karen, right. And Chudo Shel Karen is completely irrelevant. Don't specify any point on the Karen, because all of the Karen is fine. Oh, keep Ligi. So in what context do we have this machlokes about between Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yochanan about whether we require Chudo Shel Karen? That's Aliba de Rebbe. Because Rebbe is the one who breaks new ground against Rabash, and he holds that you don't require Karen. That when the Torah says Karen, you don't require Karen. What does it mean you don't require Karen? Now you're dipping below the Karen onto the Mizbeach itself, meaning on the side of the Mizbeach, as long as you're above the Chut HaSikra, even though that's not called the Karen. And somehow Rebbe is going to expand the definition of Karen in such a way that he's going to allow you to dip below the Karen on the top half of the Mizbeach. And that's where you're going to do the Nesina Saddam. Okay, but how far did Rebbe go? And as Rebbe is now dropping the requirement of Karen, so Mar Sabra, according to one Mandi Omar, that's the first Mandi Omar that we have, is Amma Eilech, the Amma Eilech. Which means that again, the Karen looks like this. So it's one Amma here and one Amma there. Going down the Mizbeach, on the Kira Mizbeach, it's one Amma this way, one Amma that way. If you follow what I mean, you're dropping literally below the Karen. I wish I had a little bit of a box here. If I had a square box, I would be able to demonstrate this for you. Yeah. Okay.
It's a rectangle.
Right. So let's imagine that this is a square. Right. Don't look at what's covered by my hand. Okay. So this would be a perfect square over here, with one Amma here and one Amma here. According to Rebbe, one interpretation of Rebbe. Soon we'll see a different interpretation of Rebbe. There's no din of Zrika, of Nesinas Adam, on the Keren itself. But what you do is you go down the Mizbeach. And you go down the Mizbeach for one Amma below the Keren, right? So this is an Amma, let's say, on this side. We'll call this the Mizrach side, right? So on this Mizrach side, you go down one Amma. Here you go down one Amma. And there's no din of Chudo Shel Mizbeach. Rebbe did not require Chudo Shel Mizbeach. What Rebbe did was, he allowed you to dip down below the Keren, as long as you're, again, there's no, like, this doesn't exist, right? So this is the entire Keren on this corner. There's nothing more beyond it. Do you follow me? Mm-hmm. So he's allowing you to go below the Keren on the Guf HaMizbeach. That's called Amma Mizeh.
Robert, we had Chudo before. Isn't it more of a Kula or an extension of the...
Oh, okay, good, great. You're like light years ahead of me. I'm just trying to get the facts down on the ground. You're already giving me the conceptualization. Great. So again, that's called Amma Eilech V'Amma Eilech K'neged HaKeren. Okay, that's one Mandiyoma. And the concept of Chuda Shel Mizbeach doesn't exist. However, Umar Sabra, according to the second opinion, you need, even according to Rebbe, Zavis HaMizbeach, you don't need the Keren, but you need the Zavis HaMizbeach. And that's called Keneged Chuda Shel Keren. In other words, Rebbe is allowing you to go down below the Keren. He's not going to require the way Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon is Keren, but he's going to require the Chuda Shel Keren. It's almost as if, you know, once Rebbe gave you a leniency here, he had to sort of compensate with a chumrah. You know, he has a kula, but in order for that kula to be acceptable, he needs a chumrah. What's the kula? That you don't need, as the Rabash would have it, a nesinas dam on the Keren. But on the other hand, you need the Gufa Shel Mizbeach in a place that is Keren, so to speak. What do you mean it is Keren? Somehow it's connected to the Keren. How do you link it up with the Keren? That's called Chuda Shel Keren. Chuda Shel Keren. Which means, again, in our picture over here, this is the Chuda Shel Keren on this side. There's another Chuda Shel Keren on this side. Right? That's exactly where the 90 degree edge is. And wherever you want to, on the top here of the Mizbeach, obviously, wherever you want to put the Dam, it's got to be exactly corresponding, direct correspondence to that Chuda Shel Mizbeach. That's according to one Mandiyum. So again, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who requires Keren Mamish, anyone in the Keren is fine. There's no Hamamin to limit any or pinpoint any place on the Keren. Forget about Chuda Shel Keren. Nobody even raises such a possibility. Anywhere on the Keren is fine. And that's great. But according to Rebbe, we have a Machlokas. Rebbe said, I'm going to be Mekil. I don't take Keren literally. I can take the Mizbeach itself as Keren. As long as, again, it's got to be on the top here for the Mizbeach, because we're talking about Nesinas Dam of Chatos. And here we have a Machlokas, how to understand Rebbe. Did Rebbe mean to say that anything that's connected at Keren, which is mean Amma Mizeh, that's fine? Or does Rebbe say that you need Chuda Shel Mizbeach? Let's just read a few more lines and then we'll try to analyze it conceptually. Somebody seems to be smoking. Anyway, Meisve, I'll ask you the following kash. So this is a Braisa, and the Braisa says the following. Chatos HaTzibur VaYochid Keitzad Matan Domam. So the Braisa goes through the entire Seder of Matan Dam. Obviously, we're already after the Shechita, and we're after the Kabbalah Saddam. Everything took place. Kedasu Kedin in the Tzafon. So now we're up to the Matan Dam Al HaMizbeach. So Ole, meaning the Kohen, goes up the Kevesh. Upana, he turns to the right, L'Sovev. And now he's on the Sovev. Bolo L'Keren Dromis Mizrachis. Now he's on the first of the four Kronos. And Tovil B'Etzbo HaYimonis. He puts his forefinger, his right forefinger, into the Dam. right into the dam that's in the Mizrach. Hamiyumenes Shebiyamin. Hamiyumenes means that's the finger that's most, most powerful in a sense. I guess you call it the trigger finger, right? And that's, he does all his malach with that finger. I mean, again, you can do malach obviously with any finger, but usually you start with the forefinger. That's the finger that's closest to the thumb, right? And that's on his right hand. So he puts the etzba, this forefinger, right forefinger, into the dam, Sheva Mizrach. And then he says, V'chomer. Chomer means he curls up his finger. Bigudlo, meaning almost reaching all the way to the thumb. So that's what it looks like now at this point. Milamala. Ubetzbo aktana milamato. He's got his smaller hand on the bottom, his finger on the bottom. And then he's machate. And then he places the dam. Like a chitui means a kind of a up and down movement. Viyorit, and he goes down on the from the middle of his finger down. Kineged, oh, this is the punchline for our purposes. Kineged chuda shel keren. Notice he's not on the keren itself. He's not doing the matan tov in the keren. So we're not going according to the Rabash. We must be going according to Rebbe, because only Rebbe allows you to do the matan tov in below the keren. But we're below the keren. Is up to Brisa, can I get chudo shel keren? Ad shemechalek al adam shebetzbo, v'chein b'chol keren u'keren. So again, this requirement of chudo shel keren could not possibly reflect the shita of the Rabash. He requires nothing more than keren, anywhere on the keren. The Brisa therefore must, by definition, reflect the shita of Rebbe who goes below the keren. But yet, at the same time, the Brisa requires that it be keneged chudo shel keren. So that would certainly explicitly support that opinion, which was the second opinion here in the Amoraim, that says you need keneged chudo shel keren. Let me just see if he adds anything here. Ukemad yom hasheni. Oh, very good. Ukemad yom hasheni. Now the Gemara says no. Really, this could reflect the shita of Amma, what's it called? Amma Eilech, the Amma Eilech. So he's got an Amma on the right side, an Amma on the left side below the keren. How so? Hachi cometh. Here's the way we have to interpret the Braisa, which mentions Mechata v'yorid keneged chudo shel keren. Mitzvah bechuda. It's a very nice mitzvah to embellish the mitzvah of matan damim by putting the dam on the chuda shel keren. You know, it's even if I hold ama elef v'ama elef, that's only b'di'evet l'chatchila. If all things were ideal, then the sin should be keneged chuda shel keren. But i'avad, what the Braisa would admit was that if he went ahead and he was over, and instead of doing it the perfect ideal way, then as long as he did it ama elef v'ama elef, leslan ba. The Zrika, or shall we say the Matan Damim, is kosher, and the carbon is kosher. Okay. So now what I want to show you is the Nefesh Tova. And this you'll find on page... I think it's tough pay. No, just wait a second. You have a photocopy of it?
Yes.
Tough Ayin Hay. Excellent. Yeah, I just have so many different pieces that I marked up. So Tough Ayin Hay. No, that doesn't make any sense.
Tough Ayin.
Oh, that makes more sense. Tough Ayin. Tough Ayin Zayin. Do you have such a thing? Tough Ayin Zayin.
The photocopy
you have is
sorry.
Okay. Alright, good. So we have Tough Ayin Zayin. Now, this is Simon Mem, which he begins by quoting the entire Gemara that we saw. And now he quotes Rashi. So again, you can go back to the Rashi itself. I'm going to make life a little easier, a shortcut, and we'll read his presentation of Rashi. I'll tell you, when I read this Rashi, I was chapping the godless of Rashi. If I had to write a pirush on this Gemara, I don't know where I would start. And Rashi is so crystal clear, it's mind-boggling. So Rashi says the following: Aliba de Rabbi Elazar kuli amalo pli de lo beinan chuda. Why? De keren ksiv. The Torah requires keren, and what does keren mean? Amal ama barum ama means one ama this way is called keren, one ama that way, and the height is an ama. Hanosun barosh hamizbeach. Where is the keren? It's on top of the mizbeach. Bechol zavis v'zavis on each of the four corners of the mizbeach. Is called Makom Sheba, anywhere on the Keren is Kari Keren. And therefore there's no rhyme or reason to postulate some sort of requirement and restriction of Chuda Shel Keren. Even though, again, this is a little bit tricky because the Gemara is going to say L'chatchila, you should require Chuda Shel Keren. In any event, Rashi here is talking about Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, and Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon allows the entire Keren to be one entity. The Keren has the size, has the dimension of an Amah here, an Amah here, an Amah height. Anywhere on the Keren, everybody agrees, according to Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, is fine. Keep Ligi Aliba de Rebbe. Rebbe holds, says Rashi, De Machshir Lo Michut HaSikra Ulamala, the top half of the Mizbech itself, Afal Gav De Lo BeKeren. Rashi says that according to Rebbe, we do not require Keren. We're dipping below the Keren on the top half of the Mizbech itself. The Afal Gav De Lo BeKeren. Rebbe understood that there's no limitation here of Keren. And now we have Machlokas, how to interpret Rebbe. Says Rashi, Mar Sovar, going to one of them, Ki Hechi de Keren Havi Amal Amo. Just like the Keren itself is one Amma this way and one Amma that way, is Af Kol Shetachtov. Again, Kol Shetachtov means we're not requiring Chuda Shel Keren. Is anything below it is considered Keneged. I'm sorry, anything that's below it, kenegdo, meaning on that ama, but again, only up to the middle of the Mizbeach, the top here, is Havi Keren. So Rashi says clearly that Rebbe is not undermining the requirement of Keren, but he's giving a new definition to Keren. Keren is not that part of the Mizbeach that juts out on top, that four, you know, that four-cornered square that's on each one of the corners of the Mizbeach, but rather anything that's below the Keren, which is Keneged HaKeren, meaning it's one Amma this way, one Amma that way, on the Guf HaMizbeach, anywhere, is considered Keren. So therefore we don't require Chudo Shel Keren, because Rebbe is also very similar to Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. He's saying Keren, he's just expanding the definition of Keren. This is what you were pointing out before, Ben. So if we expand the definition of Keren, it means anything on the Mizbeach Keneged HaKeren is called Keren. There's no need to isolate and pinpoint one, the Chuda Shel Keren. Umar Sover, the other opinion, the second opinion, is Kevin the Kro Lava Kronos Mamish Kopid. In other words, Rebbe already sort of waives the requirement of Keren. Is therefore Bashar Mizbech Lo Shayach Loshin Keren. So why does the Torah use the language of Keren? So it's a very odd thing, because now we have to come up, according to Rebbe, with a substitute for Keren, meaning we have to some extent, we have to be honest and loyal to the word Keren, because the Torah says you need Keren. On the other hand, Rebbe is saying you don't need Keren, and Lava Kronos Mamish, so it's not the Mamish, but it is some sort of Keren. Now, in the first shot, what Rashi says is that the Keren itself, even according to Rebbe, is a requirement, just that doesn't mean the physical box, you know, that's on each corner, but it means that whole area in the Mizbeach, which is an Amal Amma Keneged HaKeren, that's all considered Keren. But now we're saying, in a second shot, that the Torah is not requiring Keren. Now we're in a paradoxical situation. The Torah doesn't require Keren, so what's the meaning and the significance of the word Keren that the Torah requires? So the answer is that we have to specify and pinpoint one point on the Mizbeach, which is called Keren. It doesn't have to be on the Keren itself, but it's something that is called Keren. What makes it Keren? You know, what does the word Keren mean if you don't require Keren? Yeah, you know, the first shot doesn't address that question. He's not bothered by the fact that the Torah says Kronos, because he's got an expanded definition of Keren, what's included in Keren. But according to the second position, we're not requiring Keren. So what is this magical word Keren? You know, it's a code word and it has to allude to something. So he says that's called Chudosh al Zavis. Chudosh al Zavis means the spitz, you know, the edge of the corners of the Mizbeach. That edge going up and down is considered Keren. What do I mean it's considered Keren? It doesn't have a din of a Keren, Rashi says, because lava Kronos mamish kapid, the Torah's not makpid on Kronos. But we could call it a Keren. Now, for linguistic purposes, if I wanted to transmit to you that it's got to be on the edge, on that corner that meets the 90-degree angle, then I use the word Keren. So it's not Keren al-pi din, it's Keren al-pi mishpate al-losha. That's Rashi. Unbelievable how Rashi, in one comment, he gives you so much information in such a short and succinct way. I mean, it's like Rashi at his best, you know. Every word in this Rashi shines like a light. It's mind-boggling. You know, Lubavitcher Rebbe spends endless amount of time explaining Rashi. Every word in Rashi. Yeah. It's called a Rashi Sicha, right?
Yeah.
And he does this on Rashi al Torah. Rashi al Torah is like holy of holies. I mean, it goes beyond holiness. You know, if there's something above, if you had a different word for holiness that would indicate a qualitatively higher level or a different essence of holiness, that's how you describe Rashi on the Torah. But Rashi on Shas is like, it's like Lundus, you know, every word. So he goes through the whole sugya here, you know, in one paragraph. And he tells you, number one, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. And Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon holds that when the Torah says Keren, it requires Keren. What is Keren? Keren is Amo, Amo, Beru, Amo. The whole thing is called Keren. He can't specify one particular part of the Keren and say that's called Keren and the rest of it's not. So Keren means the part of the Mizbeach on the corners that rises above the Gag HaMizbeach. So there's no possibility of talking about Chuda Shel Keren. Then he gets to Rebbe and he says there are two understandings of Rebbe. One understanding of Rebbe is that Rebbe holds you need Keren. But you don't need the physical Keren because the halachic definition of Keren is any place on the Mizbeach that's Kenegeda Keren. Kenegeda Keren means I'm on this side and I'm on that side. Anywhere below the Keren is called Keren. Then Rashi says there's another way of understanding Rebbe. And that means that Rebbe completely undermines the requirement of Keren. So now we have to figure out the linguistic message that the Torah is transmitting to us when it uses the word Keren. If you're not requiring Keren, so what is Keren? Oh, now, paradoxically, we're going to end up with a Chumrah. And we really have to specify a place that's called a Keren. The word Keren means the edge, the 90-degree spitz. When you have two parts of a square, each corner of that square is called Keren. And that's called, in the language of the Shas, Chuda Shel Zavis. Chuda Shel Zavis. That spitz of the Zavis. Again, is that called Keren? It's not called Keren. There's no reason to specify that and call it Keren. Keren is either on top of the Mizbeach, that's where Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, or Keren means anything that's Kenegeda Keren, which means the Amma Mizeh, the Amma Mizeh. And that's Keren. But now we're saying, according to Rebbe, Rebbe doesn't require Keren. And if Rebbe doesn't require Keren, then why does the Torah say Keren? Or what is the Mashma'ut? What is the meaning of the word Keren? And the answer is that when you use the word Keren, if I was communicating to you with the word Keren, in any context, the word Keren means, translation into English, that spitz, that corner mamish, that's Chuda Shel Zavis. Again, the first pshat in Rebbe is that Rebbe requires Keren. He requires Keren, but he has a halachic definition of Keren, which expands the Keren to anything that's Kenegeda Keren. It's like the Hashra'ah, you know, the Hashpah of the Keren. The Keren is Mashpia beyond its own entity, and it includes and extends to whatever is below the Keren. That's called Amav Yisrael Yisrael. That's the way Rebbe saw it. So Rebbe basically is in the first shot is on the same turf, and he belongs to the same team as Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon. They both require Keren because the Torah says Keren, it requires Keren. The machlokas is going to be how to define Keren. Reb Elazar Reb Shimon defines Keren as that physical object that rises above the Mizbeach. We'll call it like the crown on the corner of the Mizbeach, that rises above the Mizbeach. And Rebbe has an expanded definition of Keren. We require Keren. And any area of the Mizbeach that is up and down to the Keren, that's called Keren. Comes along another pshat and says, no, Rebbe doesn't require Keren. Now, if Rebbe doesn't require Keren, we have a linguistic problem. So why does the Torah talk to us and describe Keren? The answer is, in the Lashon B'nei Adam, the way we use the word Keren, it means that edge. That's called Chudash Shel Zofis. Comes along the Rosh Hashiva, and he asks the following question. Let's go according to the second Ma'ani Omer in Rebbe, which means Chudash Shel Keren. Does that requirement of Chudash Shel Keren apply even in the Keren itself? Or does Rebbe have two halachas? He has one halacha called Keren, and here he agrees to Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. Anywhere on the Keren is fine, if you mamish on the Keren that rises above the Gagam is bad. And then he has a second halacha, and that's called Chudash Shel Keren, meaning if you're on the Mizbeach Gufa, then what? How do you fulfill the requirement of Keren? And the answer is Chudash Shel Keren, the Zavis itself. But Enoch Inami, Rebbe agrees that if you did the Matan Dom on the Keren Mamish, then the whole Keren is one entity. Rebbe never denied it. Or not. Rebbe holds that even on the Keren itself, Berosho Shel Mizbeach, you have to do the Matan Domim on the Chudash Shel Keren. Meaning that according to this Pshat in Rebbe, when the Torah says Keren, it means Chudash Shel Keren. Lomi Boy, for sure, if you're below the Keren, but even on the Keren itself, you need Chudash Shel Keren. And it's got to be on that surface. The first Pshat is to say, no, Rebbe has two halachas. He has one halacha called Keren, and then he has the expanded Keren, which is Amav Yisrael, Amav Yisrael, Keneged HaKeren, but on the Keren itself, any place on the Keren is Keren. So again, as we said before, the first pshat in Rebbe is just to extend Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. Basically, Rebbe is on the same turf as Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. He takes the Keren literally, just he has an expanded definition of Keren. On the Keren itself, the whole entity of the Amav Yisrael, Amav Yisrael, the whole area is called Keren. And then, if you want to get onto the Mizbeach and find a place on the Gufa Shel Mizbeach that's called Keren, there you need Chudash Shel Keren. The other way of explaining it is no. That Rebbe understands that the word Keren itself means Chudash Shel Keren, or Zavis HaMizbeach. So again, Rebbe is willing to take the entire Mizbeach up and down. Again, you can't go below the Chut HaSikra, but up and down and identify that edge, that corner that's 90 degree corner. But even on the Keren, he's going to require Chudash Shel Keren. If somebody could tell me what time is it, because my watch is way off.
It's 10:37.
So give me 5 more minutes just to develop this idea. Ubir HaSofek. Do you have that paragraph? And he says the following. The Reb Elazar Reb Shimon Vadai Damaruba, meaning the entire square that's on top of the Mizbeach, who Nikra Keren. According to Rebbe, we're not sure exactly how Rebbe understands the Pasuk Keren. And that's going to be the Machlokes Amoron. What is Keren? According to Rebbe. One Ma'an D'Omer says, you need Chudash Shel Mizbeach in order to, or Chudash Shel Keren, if you want to call it, in order to establish that as the place that's Keren. Sphere Le Rebbe Kronos Dekra Lav Hainu Ribue HaKronos doesn't mean the entire four square parts of the Keren, but rather it means Zavis HaMizbeach. That's called Kronos. Now, if that be the case, if Rebbe takes the word Keren in the Torah and he identifies it as from an etymological point of view, that it's transmitting the concept of Zavis, then if it's Zavis, then he's going to acquire Zavis even on the Keren itself above the Mizbeach. Because again, the Keren itself is not significant. The Torah doesn't isolate a Keren. And therefore, Keren has no halachic status. The word Keren means nothing more than Zavis HaMizbeach, which is called Chuda. And therefore, you're going to require Chuda Bein Lamala Bein Lamata. Even on the Keren itself, you're going to require Chuda. That's one understanding. Oh, Uman de Svirale. Now he has another possibility. The Nosein Amo Eilech Vi Eilech. Svirale de Afle Revi, Karen de Kro, Hainu Amo Al Amo, Sheberosh HaMizbeach. El de Svirale de Kol Shekenegida Karen Lamato is Choshev Kamo Karen. In other words, Rebbe has Keren, and now he has an extension of Keren, and that extension of Keren, according to this Madiomer, is Ama Mizeo, Ama Mizeo. That's also called Keren. But again, Keren is Keren. You know, before you get to the expanded definition of Keren, talk about Keren. So the Keren is the four directions that surround the entire Keren on all sides. But now let's talk about the Man Yomar that requires Chuda Shel Keren. It could be that according to the Man Yomar that requires Chuda Shel Keren, then we're basically throwing the requirement of Keren out the window, and instead we're requiring a new definition, a new interpretation of the word Keren, and that's called Zavitz HaMizbech, or Chuda Shel Mizbech. Then that Chuda Shel Mizbech has to be a requirement even in the Keren itself. Why? Because there is no halach of Keren. In other words, that entity that we call Keren is not the entity of Keren that the Torah is referring to. So that entity called Keren has no special halacha status, has no special status. But rather, the word Keren means what? Zavis. If the word Keren means Zavis, anywhere on the Mizbeach, then even on the Keren Mamish, as we call it, the physical entity called Keren, you're going to need Zavis. And therefore, you're going to need Chuda Shel Keren, even in the case of Keren Mamish. The other way of interpreting is that no. When the Torah says Keren, it means Keren, the whole entity. And in that sense, Rebbe belongs to the camp of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. The only problem is that Rebbe has an expanded definition of Keren, which is called Keneged HaKeren. And that Mandiyom would say that Amma Mizeh is all the extension of the Keren. And then there's no Din of Chuda. That's one way of interpreting it. So again, according to this interpretation, we don't assume that according to the Bayi Yomar requires Chuda Shel Mizbeach that the entire Keren has a special halacha. No, Rebbe, if he requires Chuda Shel Mizbeach, that's how he's interpreting Keren, and that halacha, that requirement applies even on the Keren itself. Ulam, he says. Now I'm going to suggest another possibility, and according to the second possibility, he's going to admit that Rebbe would allow any place on the Keren. And you don't need Chuda Shel Keren on the Keren itself. The Kuli Amaroi Modi, the Rebbe Beribui Akronos, Shemarosh HaMizbech Mikros Kronos, the whole square that makes up the Keren on top of the Rosh Shel Mizbech, that's called Keren. Ubir Pluktosam de Laman Yomer Nosein Ama Elech Vi Ama Elech Mashi Yochol Liten Lamata Men Akronos Ad Chatzias Mishum Dehavi Keneged Akronos Rishus Kronos Ad Chatzias Mizbeach. That's what we call the extension of Kronos. That somehow the Keren itself has a Hashra'ah. You know, it has some sort of permeation in which it permeates and goes beyond its four Amos, so to speak. And therefore, anything below it is considered Keren. But again, we're only trying to set up the part of the Mizbeach below the Keren as Keren. On Keren itself, the entire square of the Keren is fine. Oh, but Uman de Boy Chuda, according to the second Man de Omar, he's saying that we're not giving any special status to the Keren and then an extension of the Keren, but rather the Torah says Zavis. That's what the Torah means by Keren. And therefore, even with regard to the Keren itself, what you require is going to be Zavis. Zavis means Chuda. Ulakachim nosen shalol Keren al Yona. It starts litain dafkal Chuda. Right? Hamios im nosen al akronishib rosham is beach. is Moda Rebbe de Islay Ribua Elyon Shem Karen. Now, just one second. I thought I had it perfect, but the language doesn't. Just one second. So again, according to his first pshat, that's in the paragraph Ubira Sofek. What's he saying? He's saying that the Mali requires Chuda, means that Chuda means Zavis. And Chuda means Zavis. Then even on the Rosh HaMizbeach, he has to require Chuda. And Chuda is a requirement of Keren even on the Zavis. And what do we do with the Mandi Omar who says Ama Eilech, Ama Eilech? And it means, even according to Rebbe, Keren extends to Amal Ama Al Rosh HaMizbeach El Desvile the Kolsha Keneged HaKeren Lamate Menu Choshev Nami Keren. So I thought that this concept on the top left column is identical with what he says in the next paragraph, which he calls Rishus Kronos Ad Chatzi HaMizbeach, that the Rishus of the Keren extends. In which case there are two halachas. Rebbe has Keren Mamish, and then he has Keren as an extension of Keren, which is called Rishus Keren. And Rishus Keren means anything that's Keneged HaKeren, therefore you don't even require Chudush Al Mizbeach. But according to the Man Yomar who requires Chudush Al Mizbeach, he's just completely rejecting the requirement of Keren according to Rebbe, and instead you need Keren, which means Chuda Shel Mizbeach, and that's going to apply even Lamala. If you hold Amma Mizeh, then what you're saying is you're extending the Keren. So the Keren itself has the entire entity included of Keren, and now there's part of the Mizbeach which is Keneged HaKeren, Amma Mizeh Mizeh, which is also a Rishus Keren. If that's also Rishus Keren, then certainly on the Keren itself, any part of the Keren is fine. Whereas if you hold Chuda Shel Mizbeach, then you're not requiring Keren, and we're going to substitute Keren for this. That's as far as the first paragraph was concerned. Now, he's saying, Ulam Yesh Lefarish. So the goal of this paragraph, Ulam Yesh Lefarish, is to suggest the following, that even the Mandi Omer who says Chuda Shel Keren admits that on the Keren itself, you can have any place in the ribua, any side of the keren, any part of the keren is included. Yesh lefarish b'ofen acher, de lekula amaroi modi Rebbe de ribuye kronos rosha. Everybody agrees that according to Rebbe, any part of the keren ubir pluktos man the yomino saying ama elas and elam ashiyochel. So that's the svar of reshus. Fine. That's good. Oh, uman de boy chuda. Now we're getting to, again, from the in the middle of the paragraph ulam. Do you see where it says uman de boy chuda? It's about eight lines down from the top of the paragraph. Here he wants to make a breakthrough, and he wants to say that even if you hold chuda, but on the keren itself, anywhere is sufficient. Uman de boy chuda svirle. Language is a little bit obfuscated. He says, "Ela mipnei zavis af hi kriyam keren." Oh, that's the key line. Oh, that's where I missed it. If you can underline that line, he says, "Ela." You have that line. "Ela mipnei zavis af hi kriyam keren." You want to bold that and highlight it in every color that you could highlight it. Because that's the punchline. I missed that one line. He's saying now that the Tzvei Dinim of Keren, according to Mandi Omer Chuda Shel Mizbeach, there's Keren Mamish, and then there's another Keren that also has a Chaloshev Keren. And that Keren on the Gufa Shel Mizbeach is called Zavis. The Zavis itself is called Keren. Therefore, if he's going to do the Nesinas Adam on the Keren on top of the Gag, then Moda Rebbe, that's the last line here, the Isla Cholari Buya Elyon Shem Keren. But if he's going below the Keren, on the Gufa Shel Mizbeach, and that's in his language, Shelo Al Keren Hel Yona, meaning the part of the Keren that's the Keren on top of the Gaga Mizbeach, Tzorech Litein Dafkal Chuda, because that's this new din of Keren. So he has two definitions of Keren now, according to the Mandi Omer Chuda Shel Keren. There's Keren Mamish, which allows you to do the Zrika anywhere, Barosh HaMizbeach, on all four parts of the Ribua, That's called the Chelek HaElyon. And then when you get to the part below it, there's a new din of Keren. Where is Keren? That's in the Zavis. But on the Mizbeach itself, on top of the Gag, anywhere on the Keren is considered Keren. So that's one. That's the second interpretation that he wants to offer for Chuda Shel Keren. According to the first definition, Chuda Shel Keren is actually one din, meaning there's one din of Keren. And what is Keren according to Rebbe? It's Chuda Shel or Zavish Shel HaMizbeach. And that applies even in the Keren Mamish above. According to the other Manti Omar, who says that Amal Amo Keneged HaKeren, that means we have an extension of Keren. Keren applies to all four sides, and anything below the Keren on the Mizbeach is also called Keren. And everything fits in beautifully. Okay then? So that's where we'll stop for today. It's interesting that in the balance of this essay, he's going to assume the first pshat is correct, and that you require Zavis even in the Keren above the Gagel Shel Mizbeach. I would have, emotionally, I would have been more inclined to assume, intuitively, I would say, I would have been more inclined to assume that Rebbe would agree that on the Keren itself, any part is fine. So I would be more inclined towards his second interpretation in the paragraph Ula, but he prefers the first paragraph, which is called Ubir, and therefore Rebbe is going to require Chuda Shel Mizbeach Zavis even in the Keren above the top. Okay, Rabbi Olsi, so we'll stop here. I wish everyone a great Shabbos. Okay, then?
Have a great Shabbos, thank you.
Yeah, and if anyone gets a hold of a picture here for this sugya, I would really appreciate it. Because these diagrams only go so far.